And a little bit about who we are. We are from Iowa, and my wife and I, we have four kids, seven grandkids, been married 32 years. Got it right? I didn't have to practice that one either. And it is just, I could just say we've had church already and let's go home. Been great to be in the Lord's presence. Worship team, awesome job. Hope you guys never take them for granted. I'm sure you don't. Also, a shout out to somebody who never gets thank yous, the sound guys back there. The only time... the only time they even get acknowledged usually when something is squeaking or something is wrong. And so, but they never get acknowledged when everything is good. So, good job, good job. Before we get into the message today, I'm reminded of a story in the book of Joshua. The Gibeonites are coming to try to form a treaty with the children of Israel because they've heard, hey, they're just steamrolling everybody they've come into the promised land for. So they devise this plan to trick them into a treaty. Why? So they take moldy bread. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but they take moldy bread, old wineskins, put on old shoes, say we've traveled from a long way. And Scripture says that they examined the bread. Yeah, it must be old bread. It's moldy. They examined the wineskins. Yeah, they're bad. And they examined their shoes. They're wore out. But then there's a big but. It says, but they did not inquire from the Lord. And you know, this morning, we're here. We're looking at you. We're examining bread. You're looking at us, examining bread. Maybe moldy bread. I don't know. But you know what? We're thinking, okay, this means change is coming. Change for this church. Change for us. Change for our lives. And I just want to take a moment. Just hear from the Lord. Can we do that? Let's just take a moment, close our eyes, and settle our souls. Jesus, we are here to hear from you. God, this is your church. God, these are your people. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, that even though it's wise to examine, it's wise to look, but I pray that our ears would be open to hear your voice, to hear from you. So, Father God, speak to us today. Change our lives. Maybe walk out these doors different than we walked in because we had an encounter with you, Jesus. We didn't have an encounter with the worship team. We didn't have an encounter with a preacher. We didn't have an encounter with anybody else but you. For you alone can change people's lives. So we thank you for it, Jesus, and we rely fully and wholly upon you. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that as we dig into this message this morning, Jesus, that you would be pleased, that you would be satisfied in everything that's said and done here. Lord, not only as we look at your word, but as we come before you, the living word. Lord, I can't do it on my own, and I'm so thankful I don't have to, because we have you. So, Lord, we ask this all in your wonderful, timeless, and matchless name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles with me this morning, go with Genesis chapter 1. I thought, why not just start at the beginning? Why not just start right at the beginning? Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8 to start with. So if you got your Bibles, you can keep your finger in there because we're going to be going back to it. Has everybody got it? Say, I got it. In case you don't know where it's at the beginning of the Bible. So it's all the way to the, depending on which way you have your Bible sitting in your lap. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. And let us separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. The second day. The story of the 6 days of creation are given to us in a poetic kind of form. There, we might not always see that, but as we read through it, it takes on this certain poetic cadence to it. The opening portion of all Scripture is given in a poetic form. Well, why is that? Because God's not giving us technical information. He's not giving us the when and the how of creation. If that was the case, you'd read more like a science manual than a poem. Instead of the when and how of creation, God is addressing the who and the why. But we as modern people, sometimes we want to know all the details. Well, when did it happen? Exactly how did it happen? And that's really neither here nor there when compared to the question of the who. Who is responsible for creation? And why did it happen in the first place? But if you notice, there's this kind of poetic form. I'm hoping everybody's at least read Genesis 1, you know, the creation story, once or twice, maybe or heard it in Sunday school. But there's this kind of cadence and rhythm to it. God said, God saw, it was good. God said, God saw, it was good. God said, God saw, it was good. Have you ever kind of noticed that? But there's an exception to the rhythm. And that comes on the second day. We are used to God pronouncing each day as good, and we kind of almost miss it that on the second day, there is no pronouncement of good. There's this an exception to the cadence and the rhythm on the second day. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not before. Because oftentimes, we get stuck into these rhythms of God said, God saw, it was good. God said, God saw, it was good. And oftentimes we can get stuck into patterns of with God in our own lives in the same way. That we think, God, you're going to operate this way. You got to do it this way. And then all of a sudden, bang, a surprise comes along and it's God moving in a way we never expected. I said it in Sunday school this morning. Jesus is the Christ of the perpetual surprise. If you're not being surprised by Jesus, are you really running after Jesus? Jesus was particularly good at this. The religious leaders, the disciples, and those who followed him, they expected Jesus to act in a certain way and do certain things. And even after his resurrection, they were like, well, now is the time you're going to set up your kingdom, Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't always know how God is working. We don't always see it. We don't always feel it. We don't always understand it. And that's on the day when the day is good. But when there's no pronouncement that it's a good day, it's even harder to see sometimes. God, I don't see how you're working in this. I don't see how you're moving in this. I don't understand it. I can't follow it. We'll eventually come to see that the day is good. But on the day when the day is no good, there's no pronouncement of it being good, there's a lesson to be learned here. Not every day is a good day. Now, you did not need me to drive 10 hours to tell you not every day is a good day. You know that. There's second days that come along. The second day of creation is all about the creation of the Greek, the Hebrew word called rakia. Rakia. God says, let there be a rakia. It's a rare word. It's just used a few times, and mainly here in Genesis chapter 1. King James says it as firmament. That's why I don't read King James, because I can hardly pronounce that. Sound like I'm speaking in tongues, but need an interpreter. The ESV and the NIV, they say expanse. The NLT says the word space. On the second day, we get separation. Let me read to you again verse 6 in Genesis 1. It says, and God said, let there be an expanse, let there be a rakia in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made this space to separate the waters of earth from the waters of sky. And here's the idea I want you to get right now. The idea of creation, the creation on the second day is the idea of space and separation. Space and separation. On the second day, heaven and earth are separated. So now you see why immediately the second day has no pronouncement of being good. We don't like it when rakia comes into our life and it separates heaven and earth. We want our lives to be heaven on earth, don't we? But if you've been following the Lord long enough, you know there's times when it feels like heaven is a million miles away. God doesn't say it's bad, because we're going to learn that it's not. But when you are living in the moment when heaven feels 100 miles away, or you're suffering some life pains and you're in those second days, it doesn't seem good, does it? You're going through a terrible day. Heaven's a million miles away. God doesn't look at that and say, oh, that's good. But he does look at it and he says, it will be for your good. My middle son, when he was in middle school, you know, middle schoolers are void of any drama in their life. You all know that. It doesn't exist. And he'd come home from school and would talk about how was your day? And, oh, it was the worst day of my life. Well, didn't you say that yesterday? Well, then this is the third worst day of my life. And then it kind of got to be a joke. How was your day? It's the 33rd worst day of my life. But we all have those days. But for the sake of this message this morning, I want you to think of the days of creation as numbers and not necessarily days. Because we got to understand that God works in a process. God could have easily, when he created the heavens and the earth, snapped his finger and everything was done. Just let it be so, and there's the planets, the earth, the stars, the moons, the Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Everybody remember that song? He's still working. Okay, well, we already had worship, and that's really not worship. But in the creation story, God is teaching us something. He's teaching us that creation's relationship with the Creator is a process. When you first come to faith in Christ, the Word tells us that you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are come new. And so as you start following Christ, you are beginning the salvation process of your life being changed. Terry brought it up in Sunday school this morning. She goes, sometimes there's ugly things in there we don't even know that's in there, and then God reveals them to us as we grow. That's the process of God working salvation deeper into our lives. But if we're not careful, we can come to resent God's process of creation. Because we have a malady of modern man. We want everything instant. We have our Instapots. We have our air fryers. We got our microwave ovens. I remember as a kid, my mom got a microwave for Christmas. Yes, that was a good gift to give back in the late 70s. A microwave cost about the equivalent of about $1,200 today for it. I remember on Christmas morning, as the microwave sat there on the counter, we put a donut in it. And the whole family stood around staring into the microwave, but not too close because the radiation will get you for one of those, and watched the microwave. And so my mom thought, well, this microwave can do everything. I'm going to cook a roast in it. Now, anybody ever had a roast out of a microwave? My shoe would be easier to chew through than that roast was. But we like things fast and instant, don't we? We don't like the slow and the slow. Sometimes we want everything to be microwave Christianity when God is calling us to be crockpot Christians. When I got my first iPod, which is always kind of funny, I fit right in that niche where some people are like, what's an iPod? Never heard of one. And the younger kids are like, what's an iPod? Never heard of one. So if you know, who knows what an iPod is? Okay. I first got my iPod in 2007. We had dial-up internet. And to download an album took 12 hours. 12 hours. Now, I can be driving down the road and download an album on my phone in less than 2 minutes. And if it took 12 hours now, I wouldn't have the patience for it. Because I want things quick. But that's not how God works in our lives. God works in our lives in a process. And in this process, second days come about. You understand that there's days when there's days that's no good. You don't need me to tell you that. But what do you do on those days that there's no pronouncement of good? When heaven feels a million miles away, when it feels like all hell is breaking loose. Well, really, there's nothing for you to do. Pray, worship, keep serving God, whether you feel it or not. And you wait for the third day. And we wait for the third day with wonderful anticipation because something's going to happen. So let's look at what happens on the third day. Genesis chapter 1, we're going back there, starting in verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which there's seed, each according to its own kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which there was their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Did you catch that? There's something significant about the third day. Second day, there's no good. The third day, there's double good. It's the only day of God's pronouncement is good, good. Jewish wedding tradition is to be married on the third day because it's the day of double blessing. If you ever wonder why that is, that's why. So here's the point. On the day when the day is not good, it's so that a double blessing of God's goodness might come on the next day. When the day is not good and heaven feels a million miles away, it's setting up the work that the third day good, good blessing can come the next day. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're stuck in a second day where, I sense the presence of God, I pray, I read my Bible, but there still feels this distance between me and God, and I don't know what it is. I think I'm doing everything right. I don't have unconfessed sins, and I don't know how we can go. Or maybe you're at a point in your life where all hell is breaking loose in your life. Everything is just falling apart and falling to pieces. Hang on. It's a second day. My word to you is the third day will come. The separation that occurs on the second day and the suffering that results from it, that is where growth comes from. You know, we can stick our fingers in our ears and not want to hear that because we want everything easy, cheesy, happy, clappy, and quick. But sometimes we have to go through second days. The goodness of all things green comes from separation on the second day. April showers bring May flowers. What happens on the second day is a setup for what happens on the third day. You can't have plants, trees, and fruits, and vegetation if there was no second day, if there was no separation. So if you're going through a second day experience, what is happening is you're getting a setup for the good, good day. I don't know when it'll come, but no doubt the second day experiences are no good, but it's necessary so that growth and blessing may occur. Hosea 6, verses 1 through 3 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day," touch your neighbor and say, "the third day, he will raise us up that you might live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that waters the earth." There's a similarity here between Hosea 6 and Genesis 1. There's a tearing when heaven feels far away, when your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling, where your prayers don't seem to be getting answered. And Hosea says, it's where it feels like he has torn us. And much of the times in those second days is a tearing, it's a separation of heaven and earth. But the big but that will bless you on the third day He will raise us up. So see, God is not absent. What he is doing is part of his process. His process of making good things come into your life. But you know, it's impossible to think of the third day without thinking of the heart of the gospel. Whenever Jesus would talk about his death, he would always talk about the third day, resurrection. I'm convinced that throughout Scripture and throughout life's experiences, that to grow you and me into fruit-bearing people, fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, times of separation must come. Unless the waters are separated, the earth, the dry land, and the heavens, there can be no growth. Second day experiences must come into our lives. So there's actually comfort to be found in those second days when the day seems no good. It's nice to know there's a purpose in it, isn't there? If we don't have second days, our lives will be barren of any fruit. It's in the suffering of the second days that we're being prepared for growth. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was put as a prisoner, a political prisoner, in a Soviet gulag. And this is what he wrote. "It was only lying on rotting prison straw that I began to recognize the good that was coming into my life. That's why I look back on it and I say, bless you, prison, for having been in my life." It's always easy to look back at it and say, bless you. When you're going through it, sometimes it's hard to say, bless you. But we can say, bless you, second days, for having been in our lives, for that day was necessary for the third day, the good, good, to come into the life of God's blessing. But you know, the truth is, the second days are also a blessing from God. How long are second days? One thing I've learned about the Lord, he'll talk to you fairly freely about the what. But the why and the times, he's fairly tight-lipped. We don't know how long our second days of suffering might be. But there's two things that I know for sure. That our times are in God's hands. And that he is merciful. He's aware of what you're going through. I met some of you, but I don't know you. I don't know what you're going through in your life. You might be in the midst of a second day right now. You're going through where heaven feels 100 miles or a million miles away. Maybe you're walking on cloud 9. I don't know. Maybe your life right now is just topsy-turvy and everything is turned upside down and it seems like it's all falling apart. And you're like, how long, oh Lord? How long? God is saying, trust me. I'm working. God is not aloof to our pain. In fact, he joined in it with us on the cross and he took it to the grave and gave it a place to die. He's aware of what we're going through. Perhaps the most comforting thing I've heard. That through the second day experience in our lives, we can know it's not without a purpose. Hurt and pain, they belong to time, not eternity. Hurt and pain belong to time, not eternity. 500 years ago, St. John of the Cross wrote a book. And the book is called The Dark Night of the Soul. Anybody heard of it? And this book could be written today. This is what he says. The soul that desires to walk in the light of God's love must first be willing to endure the darkness. Into the dark night, souls begin to enter when God draws them forth from the state of beginner. I want to move past being a beginner. I want God to take me deeper. I want God to take me further. Sometimes that's scary to say, because sometimes in order for God to do that, he has to take us through second days. But I know at the end of that second day, God is saying, there is a third day. There's a third day coming. Stick with the story. It's in the darkness that we learn to trust God's leading, because we can't see it. And we have to trust that he is guiding us, that he's not going to harm us, that he's going to lead us to where we need to go, whether I see it, feel it, or know where I'm at. In the dark times when the day is not good, God is also helping us get rid of our spiritual sweet tooth. Now, what do I mean by that? That's our happy, clappy, easy, cheesy, cotton candy Christianity. God is calling us from the shallow to the deep. He wants to take us deeper so that deep can cry out to deep. And sometimes it's in those days when the day is not good and heaven feels far away, it's that a hunger begins to build within your spirit, that you become hungry for the Lord, because, God, I haven't sensed your presence. Let this hunger grow and burn within me, God. If I don't have you, I don't have nothing. God invites us to his banqueting table for a full meal. He doesn't invite us to a charcuterie board. He doesn't invite us to a snack board. He invites us to a banqueting table. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody answers, I will come in and I will sup with him. I will eat with him. I will have a meal. God wants us to be hungry because he wants to feed us. So if you're in a second day today, I give you this word. Hold on. Don't give up. Even though it doesn't look good, the good, good is coming. It is coming. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you. We can trust you through the darkness. We can trust you through the light. We can trust you, Lord, when your presence is so strong and weighty, and we can trust you when you feel a million miles away. God, because you were faithful yesterday, tells me you're going to be faithful tomorrow. Because you were faithful 20 years ago, tells me you're going to be faithful 20 years from now. So, Lord, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, we trust you. We trust you. Oh God, make us hungry for you. Lord, that there's nothing we want more than your presence. There's nothing we want more than being with you, Jesus. Oh God, there's got to be more. God, make us hungry. Make us hungry, Jesus. Lord, without you, we're nothing. Oh, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. As everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. First, I want to ask you the question. Have you started the process to follow Jesus? Jesus is here. He's in this room and he's asking you, come follow me. Come follow me. All you are hungry and thirsty, come to me. Let's share a meal together. He's inviting you this morning. Or maybe this morning you're stuck in a second day right now in your life, when the day doesn't seem good, when it seems like one of those days where everything is falling apart. You're saying, God, I'm holding on, but barely. God, I need you to move and do something in my life. That's you. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. I'm not going to try to embarrass anybody. But I see your hands. And I want to pray for you that God would touch you, that God would give you a vision of the third day that's to come. I don't know when it's going to be. I hope it's today, but it might not be. It might be a week from now, but I'm going to pray for the strength of God to hover over your life. So Jesus, I pray right now for those who raise their hands. Lord, those who are going through that second day where it doesn't seem good, where it seems like all hell is breaking loose in their life, and they're like barely keeping their head above water and saying, Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to hang on. Holy Spirit, I pray that you are the God of all comfort. That you come alongside. And this morning you just begin to wrap your loving arms around them, Lord. And help them just to get a peek behind the curtain of your goodness that is to come. Oh God, may you be glorified. Jesus, may you be exalted in this place. There's nothing that compares to you, O Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Let's just lift our hands and worship the Lord, can we? Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. Lord, you are good. You're so good, Jesus. Just stand with me this morning, would you? I know we got a lot going on today, but I don't want to rush the Holy Spirit. I want to let him do the work that he needs to do, even if that means you're saying, this guy's turkey, he's long-winded, get him out of here. I want to be obedient to what he wants to do. Worship him. I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up, till I lay my head.